Welcome to the North Street Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. This podcast is an attempt to connect the people of North Street Community Church in Canton, Pennsylvania, with each other and beyond as we interview people and talk about various subjects. I hope this can be a time of encouragement and discipleship as you listen. Enjoy. Hey, it's Ben Hess back with Keegan Wright.
Yep.
How you doing, Keegan?
Good.
How are you? Good. I'm good. So this week is going to be a little different than the last couple weeks. We don't have a guest with us, but we decided just to do a little chat ourselves about a few things.
Yep.
And see where it goes. So hopefully we don't bore you guys too much. Now, I have to say a little insight into my home life. My boys have really been enjoying knock knock jokes.
Okay.
They have been making them up and stuff, and most of them, can I tell you a little secret? Some
sure.
of them don't really make any sense.
Yes.
But there's some pretty good ones, and one that I had was, okay, I'll start. Knock, sure. knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Why are you crying about that or something? I don't know.
Yes.
It's not that funny, but it's... something.
Okay.
So send us your knock knock jokes.
Yes.
All you people out there listening to this.
Yeah.
And
we'll tell you if they're bad or not.
Yeah. Maybe we can share them on the podcast. That would be great.
Yeah.
So Keegan and I, we've been discussing different things, and John as well. We've been discussing actually the elders. We had an elders meeting last night.
Yeah.
We've been talking about how things are going with coronavirus. What's all been going on, and we're actually, what's fun is it seems like a lot of people are looking forward to reopening. I don't want to get into all the details because we really don't know.
Right.
We're not going to say we're opening up the church weekend service, you know, coming this weekend or something like that. We don't want to say anything like that because we're not.
Right.
At this point, we'll make sure everyone knows when we are reopening, and we're just going to have to keep taking it a week at a time, I think. But as we have looked at what the state government has said about reopening, it's looking like there's a possibility. So we're going into these phases, and we are currently in the red phase.
Right.
The whole state is in the red phase at
right.
this point. And then it goes to yellow phase, and then it goes to green phase. So just like a traffic light, I guess.
Right.
So I've been trying to keep up to date with some of that. And so if everyone's in the red phase, we're all looking forward to getting into the yellow phase. And we'd actually, I don't know for sure if our county or our region will be in the yellow phase or not come here in the next few weeks or following, however long that takes. So we're kind of waiting to see about those things. But one thing we have talked a little bit about is possibly going back to small groups during that time, because they still have kind of the recommended rate being 25 people or less.
Right.
So so I don't know. That hopefully we can encourage all you people out there, all the people at North Street, to join up with a small group if you're able. The one thing, we don't have like organized small groups per se at this moment,
mm-hmm.
But I would definitely be up for organizing or trying to get those started more.
Sure.
And so as time goes on, maybe that would be something we can encourage. And if people are out there wondering and saying, hey, I would love to host one when it comes time, please let us know.
Yeah.
Because that will help us in trying to figure out how to move forward and
yeah.
who wants to host ones or not. Of course, we'd still have the regulations of, like, if you're sick, just don't go.
Right.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. So, yeah, definitely whenever... our region gets in, our county gets into the yellow zone, we would definitely strongly encourage meeting together in homes again, just to be able to get back to some sort of fellowship and we'll continue to give you guys resources for that. And again, like Ben said, just if you're willing to host, or you thought about maybe doing something like that, as again, once we're in the yellow stage, then yeah, feel free to let us know, and we'd love to know how we can help you or encourage you guys in that.
Yeah, I mean, our heart's desire here as a leadership, I think, is, you know, in Ephesians it talks about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, and we view that, you know, that's what small groups, like, we desire to equip you guys, and so if we can help you guys with resources or anything like that for small groups, we will try, you know, and do what we can.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the emphasis there, I guess, or the, yeah, what we're trying to do.
Right.
So with that, you know, over the last few weeks, over the last number of weeks, we haven't had any services. We haven't really had small groups organized. We've been sending out videos. We've been doing this podcast. We've been doing some devotionals and things like that. Not a lot. We don't do a live stream. Keegan and I and the people here, the leaders here, we kind of thought, you know, live streaming, because of our internet, for one, internet speed doesn't go well in here. But we've, so we've tried to do what we can, and that's some of the reason why the videos aren't like super long. Is because it takes a long time just to load them on to the internet.
Right.
And that's part of living in a rural area. Mm-hmm. And, but we trust that you guys have been blessed with some of those resources.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, you know, I thought maybe, I don't know, Keegan, if you could share a little bit. I don't know how much you want to share about your personal life. I'll share a little bit too, but if you want to share kind of some of the struggles of meeting at home with just your family. I mean, you have children, and the dynamics of that can be interesting.
So yeah, week by week it's different. Like, some weeks it goes great. We can get everybody sat around. The kids love church. At first, when you say church, they think we're going back to church, and they miss their friends, and so they're so excited. And then you're like, no, just at home. And they're like, okay. But they do, like, they're excited to read about Jesus, and we usually try to find a YouTube video about, for kids, like, of Jesus. And sometimes that goes great, and then we'll watch the video if I didn't do it that week. If I did it that week, I don't like watching yourself. No. My wife makes fun of me the whole time, we don't do that.
Sometimes you gotta watch yourself, sometimes you gotta listen to yourself, because just keep in mind that you're a fool for Christ.
Right. Right. But my wife reminds me of that plenty, so
that's great.
So sometimes that works well, but like, for instance, this last week was really hard to do anything intentional for church. We weren't able to watch any videos or anything. The only thing we finally got to do at the end of the day was to read Jesus Storybook Bible together, and that's kind of, that's our fallback. If we can't do anything else, we at least do that.
Yeah, which is Jesus Storybook Bible is by Sally Lloyd-Jones, I believe.
I think so.
Just an excellent resource for children.
It is.
And it really has, it ties, what I like about it, and maybe we can talk about this a little bit later, but one thing I really like about it is how the gospel, this message of who Jesus is, or just this Jesus-centeredness.
Yeah.
In all of the stories.
Yeah.
So from very beginning of creation, and the stories that are picked out in that Jesus Storybook Bible, it doesn't have all the stories. It's not the entire Bible, but it has these selections. It's got like the story of Babel. It's got does it have the flood?
Yeah,
I think.
No, yeah.
It's got,
David and Goliath.
But it's all focused on Jesus.
Yeah.
And then and then when Jesus comes and he's born, and then it tells also that part of the gospel narrative throughout. It's really a wonderful book for children and even adults.
Yeah, like I've gained a lot from it too. Like it really helps you think about everything you read in the Old Testament then, like how did this point to Jesus? Like Jesus wasn't the backup plan, so how was this all pointing towards Jesus?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was that's really good. So yeah, even though that's kind of our fallback thing, it's still very good to do, but sometimes that's all we're able to do.
Yeah. No, and I understand that. We've been, you know, my family, these last number of weeks, we've been, we've tried to be intentional. The children are pretty good. You know, we have a little bit more. So like, we have three children that are ages, I always forget the ages. This is terrible. Ages 3 and up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 and up. So, 2 and up.
You have like 1 and up, don't you?
Well, no, we have three.
Three that are three.
So they're kind of like on board. Like they understand kind of what's going on. Our oldest two is particularly, and Simon, he understands too. And then we have Jonas, who's like, sometimes he's just taking a nap or whatever. So what we've been doing, I mean, most of the days we'll be intentional. We sit down, and so what we've been super blessed. So like, Corlissa's grandmother, Irene Good, which she passed away, so she's no longer here with us. But she gave, I believe it was her that gave us a couple CDs. They were like kids CDs, but they have like common kids songs. Mm-hmm. And some of them are hymns.
Okay.
And some of them are like, they're just easy songs for the most part. And they came with songbooks, so we can actually kind of like, we actually have the lyrics and everything. And we've been playing those CDs in our van for like ages, you know? It seems like ages. For a long time now. And so the children were kind of, they know those songs by heart. And so we sing a lot of those songs. We'll just pick them out and start singing them. And that's been a lot of fun because they have their favorites.
Yeah.
And so we just sing these simple jingles, you know, these simple songs. But they're really powerful. The simplicity of them is really powerful. And we've been able to incorporate them into our daily lives. So that's been really fun. So we have, so we sit down and we'll just like sing some of these songs together. And they love it. And then I usually try to lead them in prayer. Now that can be hard.
Yes.
But I ask them, you know, what are some prayer requests they might have and that kind of thing. And it's not usually a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're so squirmy and everything, these last couple weeks, I decided to, and this isn't, I don't mean this to boast or anything, like, don't get me wrong, it's just an example, but I just was like, you know what, let's get down on our knees to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually got down on our knees at the couch, and I would have one of the boys, if they wanted to pray, you know, Dietrich might pray, and then about getting in the fields, you know, farming or gardening or better weather or whatever. Simon sometimes prays. He does like the God is great and God is good, mm-hmm. and we thank him for our food. Like we do that together a lot of times at mealtime, but he just likes to do that for whenever.
Yeah.
So sometimes he does that, and then I might pray a simple prayer. But just taking that extra little bit of time to be intentional that way. And that's worked well. I think prostrating ourselves or being specific about a form of our bodies has helped them because they're like, oh, we're really being intentional.
Yeah.
And so it might be something to try if you aren't used to doing on your knees. It's a humbling experience, I guess.
Yeah,
It's made me think about doing it here at a church service sometime, you know? And I know some people can't get down on their knees, and that's okay. Yeah. We don't want to, like, force anybody to do that. I can't do that.
Right.
But at the same time, being intentional about placing our physical bodies in a position of prayer is sometimes really important. So sometimes after that, we watch we try to watch a message, it doesn't always go well.
Right.
It doesn't always go well.
Right.
That's kind of where they get off. But, oh, and I did forget. So a lot of times we do read the scripture and try to explain it a little bit, at least, to the children. So there's a few things like that. Sometimes we'll watch like a biblical-based movie or show.
Yeah.
There are plenty of those out there. Like ones that, you know, portray Jesus doing what he did. And I really like those because it's just a fun way to, I don't know, use the technology we had to see a perspective of how Jesus, what Jesus did when he was on the earth, or when he was walking the earth with his disciples.
Yeah.
So, with his first, that's his earliest disciples, I should say.
Yeah.
I guess technically he could still be walking the earth, maybe. No, I don't know. I think he's on his throne right now.
Yeah.
but, yeah, so that's been good. So hopefully you guys out there are being intentional and taking time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know for some of you are single, and I'm sure it's not easy. It's it's not easy for us who have families either. I don't think it's easy for anybody.
No.
It's been hard. There's something about getting together physically with each other.
So yeah, well, another thing that's interesting to me, so I just, Charity and I really like personality quizzes, things like that.
Oh yeah, which I do not like.
Right, yeah, so a lot of people, they don't like, because, you know, some people think it puts you in a box. For me, it helps me understand me and understand other people, where they come from. So there's pros and cons to all of these, and you can start putting yourself in a box and it's not good, but there's some good things from them.
It's okay, we can agree to disagree.
Yeah, so anyway, they we take these, and so my favorite is the Myers-Briggs.
Oh yeah,
you get four letters, and a lot of people now like the Enneagram.
Yeah, so I've heard of that one.
Charity and I, once for a date in our home, we did the Enneagram test.
Oh yeah.
So it's interesting. I'm starting to learn that one, but Myers-Briggs is my favorite. And so you have, there's eight different letter options, and you get a combination of four.
Okay.
For things, so like extrovert or introvert, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The last two are judging or perceptive.
Okay.
And perceptive, they call them P's, tend to be procrastinating, tend to things like that, or J's tend to plan everything out to the letter. And a lot of times opposites attract, so like my wife and I, she's a P and I'm a J. So
nice.
Things like that. So anyway, the whole point, what brought this up was, if you're a P, it's probably very hard for you to be intentional, to plan some intentional time. And then if you have someone who's a J, it can be really annoying that they're finding out everything of how this needs to work.
So what you're saying is, I sense you're implying that this sometimes can be a little bit hard even between you and Charity.
Yeah, sometimes. But it's a good balance, because she loves to fly by the seat of her pants, and I have to have everything planned out, and neither one of those is perfect and good to do all the time. So,
right.
So it's a good balance.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and I hope that, like I said, I hope all you guys that are listening are able to take some intentional time. And, you know, it doesn't have to be Sunday.
Right.
You know, originally we put out the email, you know, meet together Sunday at 10. And I did that just to be a little more directional. But really, you can do this on the weekend, anytime, you know, as soon as we get the videos out or whatever, if you want to watch them, it's fine. I don't want to, you know, we can't make you guys do things.
We don't really want
to make you guys do things. We just want to provide resources that you guys can use.
We want to equip you.
Yeah. Yeah. We trust that you guys are the church, and so we're excited about that. So going with that, we've been talking lately, we've been starting in 1 Samuel 8, chapter 8, with this story of Samuel when he was a prophet, and when Israel was starting, they wanted a king. They wanted an earthly human representative, I guess you could say, or they wanted a human king to rule them, to go out and fight their battles and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things, Keegan, that you've been thinking about in regards to Saul in regards to Samuel. I'm just curious what your insights, because you've been studying some of those, and I've been doing that too. But
yeah. So I think for me, a lot of this is a big throwback. So it's interesting looking at this again because, like I said, I grew up in a house fellowship, and we took for a long time took a really in depth study on First Samuel, like Israel and the king. And so I kind of just put it aside and have it read again, like since then, like in 15 years. So
yeah.
It's been cool going back and just seeing how, looking at it in some different ways of like, Israel wanted the king, and a lot of it was because they were being oppressed by these people around them. And they wanted this like warrior, someone set, and kind of, they wanted a lineage too, because they had these judges. But they would come and go. So, like, there'd be a while without a judge, and they'd be oppressed, and then God would raise somebody up. But they're like, we're tired of that. Like, we want this king who's always going to be there in charge so that, we won't get oppressed again.
Yeah.
Which, spoiler alert, they still do. So it's helped me kind of looking at it a little bit, giving them a little more grace, seeing, like, man, that would be hard. Like, you get this freedom for 20, 30, 40 years, and then oppressed again for 40, 50, 60 years. That's a hard cycle.
Yeah. I've been finding it really interesting how the prophets, like, and I'm probably not going to go into this week. So if you're listening to this after you listen to the sermon, it probably won't, I didn't bring this up probably. I don't know. I actually didn't do it yet. And I have to, videotape it and all that.
Sure.
But one of the things I've been, just kind of a side thing, is how in control, like, it was going through the prophets. Like, Samuel was pretty much like, it has to go through me. And which makes sense, because he was the one through whom God was using to communicate to his nation. And I find the interesting mix of almost like the power struggles there, and the some of that, those dynamics, to be kind of interesting to look at. And also, what was the other thing? I find it interesting, and I haven't dove into this, so I don't know. I haven't done a thorough study of this, but it caught my eye anyways. I noticed in this week's passage, I believe it's this week's passage, 1 Samuel chapter 10, it refers to Saul as a prince,
okay,
and not as king. And it's kind of interchangeable, but I found, I just thought that was interesting, that, it was still kind of this thing of like, okay, God is king, but here's the prince, and so some of those dynamics, I just found that interesting. Kind of this, again, it kind of plays into that power thing. And it's hard because, like, we know the end of the story, or we know more to the story than what Saul did at the time,
right?
And I think one thing that's hard for me is like looking at it with fresh eyes and saying, Saul, he had good intentions, and he seems like a fairly humble guy,
right?
And he kind of gets slack for that a little bit, I think. We make a lot of assumptions about who he is.
Yeah.
I might talk about that a little bit in this week's passage. Unfortunately, we know long term he didn't really line up with what God wanted long term, but it's just some interesting dynamics there.
And something jumped out to me too. Like, I always pictured, David later on was this really humble shepherd guy. No one would expect to be king, and then God anointed him king. So then I always think of Samuel as like this guy, comes from this big, powerful, well-to-do family, but that's not true either. Like, Saul was actually from a pretty, Benjaminite. So he was like, he was, and they weren't like a very prominent tribe either. Yeah, so
they were very small.
Yeah. So he was actually from humble beginnings too, you could say.
Yeah.
And I had always thought of him as like, yeah, this big from this upply family. Now it does say like his stature, he was the tallest man in Israel, like,
and his dad had wealth.
And his dad did have wealth. Lots of donkeys and things like that. But yeah, he wasn't like the tippity top of society either. So.
Yeah. It is interesting. Just thinking back, like, these were people who were normal people, you know, normal guys, and just rethinking, you know, we have in our minds this caricature, you could say a caricature, that's a hard word for me right now, of what they are, because we know more of the full story, but in that time, you know, it was, that was what they had, and that was what they were dealing with, and they were trying to do their best, and so trying to figure, like, enter those stories, so one thing that's a struggle sometimes as pastors, as preachers, I should say, is linking those Old Testament stories with Jesus, and that can be a struggle sometimes, trying to figure out exactly what, because we don't want to just preach Old Testament stories that have a good moral teaching. Like that's good. Like, we want to teach that. Like, there's good wisdom to be gained by these stories and by their outcomes and what God was teaching Israel through those things. But God was also pointing people towards himself, and particularly to Jesus, you know? And so trying to incorporate that can be a struggle sometimes, trying to figure out, okay, what is this saying about God and who God is? What is this saying about Jesus? What is this pointing forward to? Those are important connections that we need to make, I think, as we go into these Old Testament passages. And sometimes it's nearly impossible to find something. I'll just be honest, you know, sometimes you wonder, well, what are the genealogies? You know, you have all these lists of names. And yet, I think you can find something. Like, I think God will reveal that to you as you study. And
all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for a list of things. So,
And so it's not just, it's telling us a good way to live, wisdom to be taught, which we need to obey and follow after, but it's also pointing us to God himself and how he fulfills that in our lives and how we can rely on him. And that's important. That's really important as we look at these stories. So.
So, I have another thing just kind of wanted to talk about, because I think some of us struggle with this, and this is taking a left-hand turn way off of
the last topic. We can go into the next topic here.
So here, this is just, it's important. I think most of us know this, and it's really hard to implement it, but it's important for married people, so sorry if you're single listening to this, but just to continue to date, basically. It's important to still have some time for dating, some good time, just to continue to get to know each other and to, just be together that way. So, I'm just curious, Ben, like, what do you guys, in all of this quarantine, COVID-19, what's something, way you would like to be or have been intentional in spending some time together, just growing that?
Honestly, it's not always been the easiest. So I would say some of the main things, we don't date that much. I'll just be honest. I don't know, I shouldn't say we never have, but I will say we try to take time with each other, like, almost every evening if we can. And being intentional. So we had gotten some advice a while ago. I think before we were even married. No, I don't know when. Maybe it was before we had children, because, or when we had children, it might have been. But it was kind of this thing of, you know, at the end of the day, after supper time, say, mm-hmm. Or after you put the children down to bed, like, our household, we're a little more disciplined, I guess. I shouldn't say more disciplined. That sounds terrible.
Well, so. You are more disciplined than my family.
We have this rhythm, I guess you could say, of we put the children down. Typically, we put them down to sleep. Mm-hmm. That sounds terrible. We put them to bed. Typically, between 7:30 and 8. Now, I know it's different for a lot of people. Sure. I don't want to get into, like, yeah. different parenting styles and all right. that. You have every right to parent how you... Yeah, I'm not going to... But that's just some... That's one of the things we do. And after we put the children to bed, we try not to have any other, like, projects that we're starting.
Yeah.
Or anything. Because that can be a temptation at times. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes, you know, we'll do a few chores here and there or sure. whatever. Some things that we couldn't get done earlier in the day. But for the most part, we try to really tone it down. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of gives us time to maybe watch a movie together mm-hmm. Or just sit down and drink some tea mm-hmm. together and just talk. Sometimes it's not talking. Sometimes we'll just watch stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of how we relax, but... Yeah. It's not always the best. I find, like, sometimes it's better just to not watch anything,
right.
you know,
right.
And just try to be intentional with each other, talk about a few things, especially if something happened during the day or right. whatever that we need to talk about. So there's that dynamic of connecting mm-hmm. that we do, that we try to do intentionally yeah. that way. It can be difficult with children.
Yeah.
It can be difficult when you're really busy mm-hmm. and, like, you're just exhausted, yeah. you know. But at the same time, it's pretty essential, too. Mm-hmm. Are we perfect at it? Absolutely not. Okay, I want to make that very clear.
Yeah.
We're certainly not amazing people that way. But we do try to be intentional mm-hmm. that way. Relationships take time. Mm-hmm. And relationships take a lot of communication, I've learned. And that's one of the things, like, in premarital and things like yeah. that, communication, communication, communication. Like, I cannot stress that enough.
Right.
Learning how to be vulnerable with each other, mm-hmm. learning how to be open with each other and really engaging the other person in listening. Again, are we perfect at it? Absolutely not. But we certainly try to do that when we can. And just trying to be affectionate. It's sometimes awkward mm-hmm. yeah. for us guys, I think.
Yeah.
But it's a risk and you just go there, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot. So as far as dating, we don't yeah. that much. The biggest thing, I'm trying to think here. So I like to go, like, hiking and mm-hmm. things like that. I like if she can come along with me on that. Corlissa doesn't have a lot of hobbies, she would say. So, like, I try to help out around the house as much as I can, but I shouldn't say that. I don't always try to help out around the house as much as I can. But I do try
yeah.
to some extent.
Yeah.
Another thing I have learned as a guy, I'm just going to say this as a guy,
because
in my experience, is, you know, you can be at the office or at your workplace, whatever that looks like, and you're tired,
mm-hmm.
you know? You want to get home, and you just want to relax and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to get home, and you just need some time alone. And I think communicating to your wife that you just need 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
or... Can I just have, you know, but also have the mentality that, you know, when I get home, my work starts again.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing because you're about exhausted too.
Right.
But you have to also understand that she's been at home
right.
with the children nonstop, or a child nonstop, who has needs
right.
that had to be fulfilled. And she's about tearing her hair out because she can't get away.
Right.
Or she's locked herself in the bathroom, or those types of things.
Right.
And so coming home with the mentality, okay, how can I help?
Right.
And don't, like, I often ask too much, probably. I am always like, how can I help you?
Right.
Because I want to fix the problem.
Right.
Sometimes just start doing something.
Yeah.
Like, unload the dishwasher.
Right.
Clean up in the kitchen. Start vacuuming. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Pick up the grandkid. Like, do something.
Pick
yeah.
up the kid.
Yeah. Something.
Engage with your spouse in some way.
Right.
Make eye contact.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things can, it's hard, but you have to be intentional.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. And I tell people that a lot, like, marriage is hard, but it's good.
Right.
It's work, but it's good work.
Right.
And it takes effort and intentionality. And yeah, it's not always easy, but it is, it can be very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can be. So yeah, I don't know. So what about you? What do you do?
Yeah. So thank
Sorry,
you for
no,
that.
Yeah,
no, you're good. So thanks for that. And yeah, I said dating, but the key is intentional time with each other. So like Charity and I, yeah, we don't do a lot of dating either, but we set intentional time. Yeah, it's important just to connect. And I love what you said about getting home. Because, yeah, I made that mistake the first, I don't know how many years, come up, just like, I worked all day, like, I deserve to come home and sit down. It's like,
yeah.
You know, she worked all day, too, and just going into that, and sometimes for me, it helps me not thinking of it as work. It's just like, you know what, we're maintaining this household together. Like, it's,
absolutely.
It's like, look, this is just as much my responsibility. She's, let's give her a hand here.
Yeah.
You know? And but yeah, communicating that, like, give me 5 minutes, like that, stuff like that's important. But yeah, we try to connect. We watch a show together, or
yeah.
But like you said, it's important to. I'm probably just gonna echo mostly what you said. Like, we did a lot of that stuff. Like, it's important sometimes to not watch a show, but then there's other times it's like, you know what, especially now with quarantine, whether or not. Not a lot going on. It's like you run out of things to talk about. So sometimes you just gotta
yep.
be together, even if you're not
yeah.
saying a lot. So yeah, that's good. And just, yeah, part of why I want to talk about this is, it's like we see some similarities. Like Charity says the same thing, doesn't have any hobbies. Like, and so it's, I think that'll encourage. A lot of women feel alone like that. They're like, you compare yourself and look and see, like, hey, you know, this person does all these great things. Like, I'm a boring person.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, you're not. You just, you don't have a lot of time to be poured into hobbies or whatever. And that's okay. Like,
yeah.
So.
One thing I do want to touch on is technology.
Yeah.
So, one thing, and this is kind of controversial. No, it's not controversial. It's just hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I got rid of Facebook off of my phone. Because I found that, like, and even with it off my phone, I still spend too much time on my phone
right.
when I'm at home and when Corlissa's talking to me or whatever. So there's this element of, like, sometimes you just got to take those steps of, like, getting rid of certain time wasters. Mm-hmm. And it can be really hard at the beginning, but it's really important, I think. I don't know, and that everyone has to figure that out themselves. I'm not telling everybody get rid of it, but
yeah,
but try it, you know. I know it doesn't make me as connected on Facebook as what some people think maybe I should be, but
okay.
My priority is God and my family,
mm-hmm.
and then it's my church family. And it's not, I have to, sometimes saying no to certain things
mm-hmm.
really does open up other avenues and just makes life in general better. Like, I'm not saying I live a better life than everyone, but it helps
right.
with my sanity, if I can say it that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's definitely some of those things that come into play. Now, Do I still spend time on the phone? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Too much time with the news, too much time researching some dumb thing that I'm never going to use. You know, it's like, you get so distracted. Yeah. But yeah, trying to be intentional that way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to get rid of other distractions in order to be able to focus.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to keep in mind,
yeah,
at least.
Absolutely.
One thing I wanted to say earlier, I forgot, was it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast about, I think it was the one Abby Martin had referenced.
Yeah.
And they talk about how Sabbath day, mm-hmm, Sabbath typically started when sun went down.
Right.
And I just have found that to be really interesting in terms of how our family operates. I know you work late a lot of times, so it doesn't always work out.
Right.
But how the day actually starts, like at supper time.
Yeah.
Or like afterwards, and then it's like, okay, so the new day starts at rest.
Yeah.
You know, and so learning how to structure or how to have that mentality of, you know, I'm starting out with rest.
Yeah.
And then as the day goes on, you know, we rest, we get up in the morning and move on to other things. I think too, having something that we don't often talk about with relationships is having a common like thing that you work at as spouses. And that can be like a household thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be like a work project, mm-hmm, or just a hobby.
Right.
Something that you are together working at. And so, like, for Corlissa and I, a big part of that is probably the household.
Yeah.
We work fairly hard, I would say, at keeping the house clean,
right,
at doing those types of things, mm-hmm, together.
Right.
And then there are things that we do separately.
Yeah.
But we enjoy doing things together, mm-hmm, for the most part. Once in a while, you might have a little bit of a disagreement.
Right.
You get over those.
Right.
If you're loving each other, right? Yeah. I don't know. Those are the small things. It's better to have small issues, maybe, than to just sweep everything under the rug
let
it fester, and then it becomes a big issue in the long run.
Right.
But what I mean, but what I'm talking about is like for us as a family, we are trying to work together at raising our children.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to work together at keeping our household running smoothly,
right,
to some point. And that involves schedules. That involves, now I don't cook. That's one area I could probably help out in, like, that I don't help out in. I do try to help with cleaning up, you know, after a meal. And we're pretty, as far as a household, we are pretty intentional about eating together, and like not watching TV while we eat and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain things like that, but yeah, just having a common thing to work on, I think it can be very helpful,
mm-hmm,
in a relationship, because then you grow together,
right,
you come together more. There's some of those aspects.
You achieve some goals together.
Yeah.
And so, a couple months ago, I've actually been studying a lot of like premarital counseling stuff. And they talk about the different like fundamental needs of like men and women, and that's by like men, a big one is mutual activity. Like,
yes.
And not that it's not important,
yeah,
for women too, but it's like really important for us. It's like, look, we just feel validated that way. It's like, oh, they understand, we're on board together,
yeah,
like we're accomplishing something together. It's important that way.
So there's that aspect, and it can be anything. It could be working together. You know, maybe you don't work well together in say the same job or
right,
like those types of things. But maybe it's working together for a goal to go on vacation
right,
somewhere,
mm-hmm,
and so you save up a bunch of money to go on vacation. Maybe it's the common goal of, I don't know, a building project on your property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Yeah.
We want to have chickens, so let's build a chicken coop together and figure out how to do that. You design it, I'll go get I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just a bunch of
sure,
whatever. But I think if you can have a common goal as a couple, you know, what are some things we'd like to achieve together? What are some ways we'd like to, what are some things we'd like to do together, to accomplish together? Yeah, for guys especially, that does help, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know about women. I shouldn't say that. Yeah. And I don't mean to be...
Yeah.
I don't want to be offensive or anything. Yeah.
I think we all know men and women are a little different.
They typically, yeah. And they okay. are, yeah. So yeah. So hopefully, yeah. Hopefully I can give a little bit of good wisdom. I have only been married for 12 years. Mm-hmm. 12 and a half years.
Yeah.
So it seems like a lot in some sense, and in the other sense, I know it's so minuscule compared to many others. And maybe we can even interview some others about it. I don't know. That would be a good thing to maybe think about.
Yeah. But, I've only been married a third of that time. So, 4 years,
I don't want to spout out wisdom when I don't. So like I, you know, I've just spout out a bunch of stuff that I think or have come out of my experience.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to say we've got it all together. Right. We know everybody's issues and stuff, because we don't.
Right.
You know, everybody has their thing, and so I just want to. But we do want to help in any way we can to strengthen marriages. To you know, I look forward to people when they are getting married and just that kind of thing.
Yeah, just to help you see, like, you're not alone. Like, we face a lot of similar struggles. So, like,
yeah.
A lot of times we feel alone. Satan loves to get us alone and be like, look, you're terrible because you're struggling with this. Like, look at that guy. He's not. And, like, you know what? He probably is or has in the past. So,
yeah.
Just to, show you, look, we're in this together.
Yeah.
Like,
and I do want to encourage people out there. Corlissa and I have been talking about this a little bit, but, like, to follow Jesus's ways. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Mm-hmm. The commands to love one another, this idea of mutual submission, of serving one another, all those things, they are, I believe, when you want to do what God wants to do. Like, when you want to do what God wants you to do, and you're trying to line up with that, I believe that that the Spirit empowers us to be able to accomplish those in certain ways. Maybe not perfectly right away, but, you know, I believe that the things He calls us to do are that we can do them in some capacity. At least in the direction of that. And so I like, you got to start where you're at with whatever you're doing. So, like, if you just want a better marriage, say, you have to analyze where you're at and say, what is, like, one little thing I can do today?
Yeah.
And just try to accomplish that. Mm-hmm. Like, don't go and try to, like, totally revamp everything.
Right.
And then you're, like, just frustrated with yourself because you can't get your feet off the ground. I mean, because that's a lot of times what happens. But just do one little thing, and then do that for, like, a week, and then do another little thing, you know. And it's amazing what can happen.
And do it even if your spouse isn't doing it. Like, it can be really easy to be like, look, I'm putting all this work into this and they're not, or whatever.
Yeah.
But there'll be times where they'll be putting work into it and you're not. Yeah. Like, you can't expect them to have this great epiphany the same time you do.
Yeah. So,
and just to give grace that way.
And pray for your spouse. Sometimes it takes a while, but I believe God works through prayer. Mm-hmm. And also, think about how God loves you. You know, God loves us. He doesn't force us. God served us. He died for us. But He... you know, we can still, his love isn't contingent on what we do.
Right.
Now, we can accept it and make it a part of our life, but we can also turn our backs. And And so God hasn't given up on you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all those times you turn your back on him,
right.
Well, then finally you might face him and be like, I accept this. And yeah. And so, yeah, it can take a while. And it's like I said, it's not easy.
Nope.
It can be hard work, but it's totally worth it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's interesting. Our topics went in an interesting circle.
Yeah.
Going from coronavirus to talking about what we're preaching about, mm-hmm. to some of the different marriage things, just because that's what's close to our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We're both married, and we both have these things going on.
Yeah.
These dynamics.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. So. Yeah, I hope that anybody that's listening can just be encouraged, and do what you can during this time of coronavirus, mm-hmm. to engage with the people in your household, to engage with others through social media or however.
Yeah.
Just not social media on your phone, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So yeah.
How about that? Can I close in prayer this time?
Yes, okay? You are allowed. Yeah. I know, I'm a ball hog here.
No,
I
okay.
do tend to talk, probably.
That's all right.
That can be a bad thing.
I'll take a turn this time.
All right, go ahead.
Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you that you are just alive and living and active in 2020. And Lord, I just thank you for the ways we get to see you moving at times in small ways and in big ways. Lord, I just pray for your people, just especially the congregation that usually meets here when we can. Just pray that you'll be with each and every one of us, just giving us hope when things are hard and dark, and just giving us purpose in every day, whether it's in small little things or in big things. And just help us to get to know you more. Just be showing us more of your heart. Help us to fall deeper in love with you. And to pour that love on to those around us as well as you love us. And so, Lord, we just thank you. I pray that you will bless your people this week and just encourage them in whatever journey you have for them this week. So we love you, Jesus, and we trust you with our lives. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Keegan, for doing this. And
thanks, Ben.
Yeah, we'll look forward to next time. And don't forget to send us your knock-knock jokes.
Yeah.
All right, signing off.